Grown-ups, we're going to have our Bible reading now. We're on the same page. It's Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 21. It's page 982. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the cripple made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." His disciples answered, "Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. 7, they replied, "and a few small fish." He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000 men, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, you love the people of this world, and you speak to them through your word. Help us to have great faith in the Lord Jesus as we listen and sit at his feet. Amen. Please keep your Bible open at Matthew 15. Maureen McKenna was a Glasgow woman who had a massive impact on my Christian life when I was in my late teens and early 20s. Maureen and her husband Hugh had been alcoholics and they were in recovery. They would say they were always in recovery, even though they had stopped being alcoholics, to my mind, years ago. But they started a charity in Glasgow to tell the homeless and to tell drug addicts and alcoholics and prostitutes about the Lord Jesus. And because of their personal experience with alcohol, it was quite powerful. And now alongside that, they fed and clothed a lot of people in Glasgow that no one else wanted anything to do with. And they would go to areas that a lot of tough men in Glasgow wouldn't go to. Our connection was that my mum, for a number of years, ran the administration of the charity. Part of the rehab that some of the men went through was that on a Thursday morning, a number of them would go and play sport. And if there were one short or there was an extra seat in the minibus, they would phone me. And it was great. I laughed. And that was the sort of first time I'd had a connection and got to see up close people really trying to get clean, as their language was, trying to come off drugs and alcohol and other things. After those Thursday morning sports times, we would head back into a church in central Glasgow for lunch. And the lunch was open to anyone who happened to wander in. And so often, homeless people or lonely people the occasional prostitute would walk in, and it was a great time. But here's one thing that sticks in my mind. I remember one day, this smelly old tramp walked in. I don't know if you're allowed to use that language anymore, but he was a smelly old homeless person. And there was a seat next to me, and I hoped he didn't sit down next to me. Do you know what Maureen McKenna did? She walked up to this guy and hugged him like he was her long-lost brother. And said, come and sit down next to me. And she went and got him a big bowl of soup and some big chunks of bread, and she spoke to him, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes. And afterwards I said, Maureen, did you know that guy? And she said, no, I've seen him about a bit. But I wanted him to know that here he'll not just find food, but love and support. And most importantly of all, he'll hear about the Lord Jesus who loved him and died for him. Now, not too long after that, Maureen McKenna died. But that still sticks so strongly in my mind. And I've got one simple point today that I want to make, that this passage makes, and that it grabbed someone like Maureen McKenna, and I hope us. And it's this. The compassionate Lord Jesus has come for people of all nations. Now, we might think, of course he has. Of course he has. Most of us, I presume, are from non-Jewish backgrounds. And so the impact of what has gone on in this passage may be a little bit distant for us. But the fact of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, coming for people of all nations, doesn't seem to have been that obvious to people in the first century or to the Jewish people that he's speaking to. They seem to think that Jesus may just have been a Jewish Messiah for Jewish people. It's the Lord Jesus who's got to keep telling his disciples and keep showing the crowds that he's come for people from every background and every nation. He takes his disciples here to a non-Jewish area, to a non-Jewish lady. And the Lord Jesus said to her, says, really, look at her faith. In verse 28, she's got great faith in the Lord Jesus. He takes his disciples to non-Jewish areas and he heals the crippled, the mute, the blind, the deaf, and he shows that he's Lord over them in their areas. He feeds this big crowd of people. He shows that he is Lord over them. This big group of non-Jews, he feeds them. He gives them bread and they're satisfied. He shows that he can satisfy non-Jews like me, like us. We might think it's obvious that the compassionate Lord Jesus has come for people of all nations. But what did my body language say? What did my heart say to that smelly old tramp that walked in that Thursday lunchtime? So, Lord Jesus, really for you? We've got to be really careful, even in a local church like ours, that we don't ever give off a whiff that the Lord Jesus is for us, but it's not for you. We've got to work really hard at getting to know people, not just welcoming by saying hello. That's not a welcome, not really, but by getting to know and spending time with people. Yeah, working hard at learning people's names, at spending time with people not like us, lest we ever be thought of or accused of saying, they're quite happy that the Lord Jesus is for them, but not for me. Why should I make the effort? Because the Lord Jesus does. He's come for people of all nations. I think it's no accident that Jesus takes his disciples to these places. He takes them among people that they would feel uncomfortable among. He wants them and us to know that he's going to build his church. And who's he going to build it with? People from every nation, every background. And there will be times it makes us feel uncomfortable. Now let's think first of all about the weird conversation that Jesus has with this lady. In our previous passage, if you were here last week, you might remember that Jesus had been speaking to Pharisees and teachers of the law, Jewish people. If you like, they were the most Jewish of Jews. They knew their Bibles. They went to the temple. They prayed. They did all sorts of religious routines. But they don't get Jesus. They won't trust that he's the Messiah. They won't put their trust in him. They won't follow him. So what does Jesus do? Verse 21, he withdraws, he leaves that place, and he goes to the region of Tyre and Sidon in modern Lebanon, a non-Jewish area. And you can start to see what Jesus is doing. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the Jews don't get him. So he goes to a non-Jewish area. And what does he find? Great faith. The people who should get Jesus don't. The people who shouldn't get Jesus, well, they're starting to get him. What does he find in the region of Tyre and Sidon? Verse 22, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." You know, we're not even told this lady's name. But she's in agony because her daughter is suffering. She's possessed by an evil spirit. She's got nowhere to turn, so she comes to Jesus. Let me pause for a moment. See that phrase, Canaanite, there? That's not used anywhere else in the New Testament. In fact, it's an Old Testament word. It's a loaded word. This lady is, it's not just that she's not Jewish, but the Canaanites in the Old Testament, God had said to his people, don't mix with them. Don't have anything to do with them. Don't let your sons and daughters mix with them, hang around with them, play with them. These people are idol worshippers. They hate me, and they're going to hate you guys. Stay away from Canaanites. What's worse, her daughter's demon-possessed. We don't know how, but using the language of last week, remember last week if you were here, I spoke a lot about clean and unclean and pure and impure, and that to be acceptable to God and go to the temple, you had to be spiritually clean. Remember? Some people nod, yes, good, good. Some of you remember that, fantastic. Well, what we're being shown here with this Canaanite woman is someone who's not Jewish. So automatically she's kind of unclean. Her daughter's demon-possessed, so like the picture of uncleanness gets even bigger. And she's not even from Israel. It's almost the Bible's way of saying, if there is someone who's further away from God than this woman, then I can't think of it. But what does she shout out? "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Someone who should be miles away from God is bellowing out again and again, "Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me." And she won't shut up. And by shouting, "Son of David," she gets in a way that even the Pharisees don't, that the Lord Jesus is God's promised rescuing Messiah. Now, what should we expect as she comes and shouts in faith? Probably the last sentence of verse 28. If you know anything about the Bible, and her daughter was healed at that moment. That's probably what we would expect. But look at verse 23. What does Jesus say to her? Nothing. That seems a bit odd. That seems a bit out of character. And it seems that there's something that Jesus wants to teach his disciples and the woman and us. The disciples urge Jesus to send the woman away. Jesus, if she wants help, maybe she can go to one of her Canaanite temples with her idols and the sacrifices of children. Maybe she can do that. Let her get help there. But the compassionate Lord Jesus wants to show them and us he's come for people of all nations. Verse 24, he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Okay, that's not helping us much at the moment. Okay, you're like, "Oh, come on, Lord, help us out here." But Jesus says that he's the Jewish Messiah. He's come to bring Jewish people back to God. The woman's not put off, verse 25. She comes to Jesus, she gets down on her knees and says, Lord, help me. And then the Lord Jesus says something really strange. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Did the Lord Jesus just call someone a dog? Yeah, he did. But we don't know the tone of his voice, his body language, or the glint that I think was probably in his eye as he said this. I think he's using a kind of cultural phrase of the day to make a point. I don't think he's purposely being offensive to this lady. Here's what I think is going on. Dogs were often how Jewish people referred to non-Jews. Okay? Now that does seem pretty offensive. But the Lord Jesus says, think of a dinner table. Okay? Think of your dinner table, and if you've got a dining room. At the table are the kids. Okay? And Jesus says, in this picture, the kids are God's people, the Jews. And the bread, well, that's God's Messiah. That's the Lord Jesus. And sitting under the table is a dog, okay? And what goes on is that Jesus is saying, God made promises to his people, the Jews. He was going to send a Messiah who was going to come and rescue them, bring them back to God, save them from their sins, show God's compassion again and again. God had made those promises. Is it right to take the promises of God and forget about the Jews and just throw them to non-Jews like us? That's what Jesus is asking. Is it right for God's blessings to go to non-Jews when for centuries non-Jews have wanted nothing to do with God? Well, how does a woman answer? She says, yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. If you come down to my house after lunch today, okay, and you'll have seen the boys with their lunch, where does a lot of it end up? On the floor, doesn't it? And a dog would be really well fed if it came round to my house after lunch for all the crumbs that end up on the floor. Here's the picture that's going on. The bread is going to come to God's people. But God's blessing so overflows, is so big, is so massive. God's Messiah is so brilliant that those blessings overflow off the table like kids trying to eat their dinner, that it ends up on the floor, and non-Jews like us, we get to eat as well. We get to take part. That's the picture. They fall off the floor from Jewish people so that we can eat. I think Jesus is asking these questions not to insult the lady or torture the lady or make her beg, but to show the disciples and us that the Lord Jesus isn't just a Jewish Messiah, he's a worldwide Messiah, including for us. How do I know that? Because look at verse 28. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. This woman, this Gentile woman like us, In Jewish eyes, this dog, and that's how we would have been seen as well if we're from non-Jewish backgrounds, are welcome in God's family, can receive God's blessing, because Jesus has come for us. Now, it's worth making clear, okay, that the Lord Jesus frees this woman's daughter from demon possession. If you're new to Christianity or to this local church, the Bible makes clear that as well as the physical stuff that we can see around us, there's an unseen spiritual realm. But Jesus is Lord over that as well. And at a word, he doesn't even see the daughter. He doesn't even touch the daughter. We don't know how far away the daughter was. But at a word, Jesus says to the demons, go away, and they leave. It has always been Jesus' intention to be the compassionate Lord for people of all nations. Now, what are we to do in light of this? I think it's pretty straightforward. We're to come to Jesus with faith. We're to look at this lady and we're to model what she does. We're to copy her example for us to come and keep coming in faith. If the Lord Jesus is for all of us, from whatever type of background, if every person needs him, then that includes you and me. Faith at its heart is admitting we need someone to do someone for us. There's something that we can't do ourselves, and we've got to trust someone else to do it. This lady came to Jesus with an impossible situation in her life. No one else could do anything about it. I suspect she tried all sorts of things for her daughter to be healed. But she's got to come and say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. What is mercy? Mercy is help for the helpless. Help for the helpless. And the Lord Jesus loves to show mercy. And if you're exploring Christianity today, if you're not sure if it's real, do you know a great prayer to pray? Lord, help me. Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to know if you're real. If we don't consider ourselves a Christian, well, the Bible makes clear again that we've got a problem that we can't do something about ourselves. We may not be demon-possessed, but we need God's forgiveness on our sin. We need his mercy. We need the help that only Jesus can provide. He died for our sins. He died to forgive every single one of us from wherever we've come from, whatever we've done, whatever our background or country. And he rose again from the dead. And as we come to him and cry out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, or Lord, help me, he'll forgive us. And he'll say, your faith is great. Your request has been granted. If we're already Christians, well, guess what we need to do? We need to keep coming to him in faith. Do you know a great prayer for every Christian to start the day with? Lord, help me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you know a great prayer when we don't know what to do? Lord, help me. Do you know a great prayer when life is overwhelming and we feel crushed? Do you know a great prayer for then? What do you think it is? Lord, help me. Do you know when I'm filled with grief? Do you know a great prayer? Lord, help me. Do you know if you go to a friend and they say, I've really been struggling and I'm not sure what to do. Do you know a great prayer that you can pray with them? What do you think it is? Lord, help me. Help us. One of the great things about this Canaanite woman is that she persists in faith. At first, she gets a silent treatment. I don't think that's an accident. I think the Lord Jesus is trying to draw out that persistent faith. How often in our lives have we prayed and we thought heaven was silent? Do you know what faith does? It persists. It keeps on saying, Lord, help me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's by coming to Jesus we begin the Christian life. How do we continue the Christian life? We've got to keep on coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. The Lord Jesus loves to give his help to people who come to him like that. We've got to move on. I'll be much briefer with the second half of the passage. You know the big thing that grabbed me in this half of the passage? It's this, the same thing. The compassionate Lord Jesus has come for people of all nations. In case his disciples were wondering, was this a one-off? Was Jesus, you know, helping this lady as some kind of exception that proves the rule that he's come? Well, no. Verse 29, Jesus goes back to the Sea of Galilee, but it seems that he's in the non-Jewish part. He's not going back to Israel. And all sorts of sick people are brought to him. And verse 31, the people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the cripple made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. He's not just come for people from a Jewish background. He's come to show compassion on people from every background. And what do they do? The end of verse 31, and they praised the God of Israel. See, when people from all nations come in faith and receive the compassion of Jesus, what they do is they praise the God of the Bible. They do that. Then there's another mass feeding, verse 32. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. It sounds very like what we read just a page ago. Turn back one page, okay? To Matthew chapter 14, page 981. Verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages. It seems like Matthew is kind of repeating himself. I don't think that's an accident. He's not made a mistake. The compassion that Jesus has shown in a Jewish area to Jewish people, he's going to show to non-Jewish people in a non-Jewish area. It's a repeat with a point. Now, the funniest thing for me is the disciples. Because just a few weeks ago, they've come to Jesus and said, where are we going to get enough bread to feed all these people? And verse 33, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? Come on, guys. Are we not getting this yet? You know, you can imagine Jesus saying, the Lord Jesus can make bread out of nothing. And he tells everyone to sit down again. And he says, what have we got? And they've got 7 loaves and a few fish. And they start to hand them out. And they come back to Jesus for more. And they start to hand them out. And they come back again. And there's more and more and more. Why? Because Jesus can make bread like that. It's not hard for him to make bread. And this time we're told that there are 7 basketfuls left over. Now, it might just mean that there was loads left. But in the Bible, the number 7, it often means completeness or perfection. And I wonder if we're being told that Jesus can satisfy people from any nation, every nation. He's not just for Jews. He's not just for white guys like me. He's not just for university-educated people. He's not just for religious people. The Apostle John, a bit later in his life, I suspect he's here that day, he got a vision of heaven one day. And he saw a great crowd of people, too big to count. And I suspect he may well have seen some of our faces in the crowd. That must have been amazing. One thing that he definitely did see was people from all over the world, from different tribes and nations and backgrounds and nationalities and languages. Because the compassionate Lord Jesus has come for people from all nations. And what you and I need to do, if we're not Christians, or put our faith in him, is to put our trust in him, that we would receive the compassion of our sins forgiven. Now, in the second half of this passage, what is the Lord Jesus teaching us? Well, I think he's teaching his disciples to take him to the nations. I look at the disciples, and I see they're sent among the crowds to give out this bread, this life-giving bread. And suddenly they had to mix with people who were not like them. It was probably uncomfortable for them. They've been taught for years, it's probably best that you don't mix with non-Jews. But Jesus says, go and feed them. Go and serve them bread. The disciples have to cross a comfort zone. Later on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is going to turn to his disciples and say to them, go to the nations. Go and make more disciples. And maybe some of them had to learn new languages and different customs. And they had to mix with people who believed different things, who were from different backgrounds. And I think that's a picture for us. That as we try to reach the nations for the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have to cross a lot of our comfort zones. Our neighbors may be very different from us. They may not even speak the language that we speak. Will we go to the nations like the Lord Jesus has sent us? Maybe some of us have an urge to go to another country to do that. That would be amazing. And the church would really like to get behind that and support that. I wonder if we're praying for the nations, both near and far, that many would come to faith in the Lord Jesus. I'm really glad that Maureen McKenna had grasped this lesson. She understood it and had got a hold of her heart. And I'm so glad that at one Thursday lunchtime, about 20 odd years ago, she hugged that stinking tramp in front of me. Because it was a big lesson that I needed to learn. That the Lord Jesus is not just for the likes of me, but he has compassion on people from all nations. Why don't we pray for a growing sense of it in us, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you that the Lord Jesus loved to show compassion on people. People from all sorts of backgrounds who came to him and asked for his help. And we ask for help this morning, that we would have a heart for the nations like he does, a heart for people. Perhaps some of us can think of someone right now, a neighbor, a family member, that we would love to see come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Lord, we bring them to you. We ask for mercy on their behalf. Help us to be bold as we speak about Jesus. Help us to be like these disciples, going and moving among and giving bread to people from different places, people not like us, that they would see the compassion of Jesus. Thank you for Maureen McKenna. Thank you for the lessons that she taught me. Thank you for the impact that she had on people's lives throughout Glasgow. Thank you for those who came to faith through her witness. Lord, give us a big heart like that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.